طيب الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، مدح أهل العلم في كتابه العزيز، وقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. أسأل الله يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضاه من القول والعمل، ويجعله خالصا لوجهه الكريم، ويتقبل منا أعمالنا. أما بعد، we stopped in the book of العقيدة الوسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله by the explanation of ابن عثيمين at the statement of شيخ الإسلام: وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, with no partners. While إقراراً يقر meaning acknowledging so in total oneness, the oneness, توحيد. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. The Sheikh says أشهد بمعنى أقر بقلبي ناطقاً بلساني، لأن الشهادة نطق وإخبار عما في القلب. The Sheikh said, when you say أشهد, and it could be translated as I bear witness or I testify, what is intended by that meaning I acknowledge in my heart and I utter it with my tongue. You acknowledge in the heart, you utter it with the tongue. Because shahada, bearing testimony or testifying, is a statement on that, is a statement on that which is in the heart. It tells us what's in the heart. So if a hypocrite says La ilaha illallah, is that considered a true shahada? No, because the shahada is the heart, the tongue speaking what's in the heart. In the heart there's no La ilaha illallah, but on the tongue there is. We will see what is intended by that as the Shaykh continues. فأنت عند القاضي تشهد بحق فلان على فلان تشهد باللسان المعبر عما في القلب. For example, if you are in a court, in front of the judge, you may testify for one person against another person. You testify for one person against another person. So you testify with your tongue what you keep in your heart. واختيرة الشهادة دون الإقرار لأن الشهادة أصلها من شهود الشيء أي حضوره ورؤيته. فكأن هذا المخبر عما في قلبه الناطق بلسانه كأنه يشاهد الأمر بعينه. The Sheikh said that the shahada comes from the word we know as mushahada, yushahid, or shuhud, witnesses. And yushahid is to view something with your own eye, with your naked eye. And this is where the word or that meaning is derived from the mushahada. And you say someone seen something, so you call him a shahid or shahid. And not the shaheed of the battlefield, rather the shaheed of being a witness. He says, so it's as if the person, يعني, what he's saying in his heart is so real, it's as if you could see it. It's as if you can see it. نعم. لا إله إلا الله أي لا معبود حقا أو لا معبود حق إلا الله. وعلى هذا يكون خبر لا محذوفا ولفظ الجلالة بدلا منه. We're not going to get into the grammar, but I want to point something out. You may see sometimes when they want to translate La ilaha illallah on any kind of you know, whatever things they hang on the wall, they put there is no God but Allah, and that particular translation is incorrect. And if you're able to advise the person, do so. If you can take it down, take it down. Because to translate La ilaha illallah as there is no God but Allah is incorrect. Linguistically, it is correct. But what is intended by it is incorrect. Because the people of Quraysh believed in La ilaha illallah of Rububiyyah, the one we learned. Remember we said Rububiyyah, the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims, almost everybody agrees, except the atheists, that the one who created the heavens and the earth is God. Where is their problem? Worshipping. Uluhiyya. So La ilaha illallah meaning La ma'bud bihaq, illallah. No one truly deserves worship but Allah. Meaning this would say, there's no God worthy of worship but Allah. This is the correct translation. This is the correct translation when you explain it to the people. Otherwise, if they just want to translate it linguistically, then la ilaha illallah, word by word, is there's no God but Allah. But we know that Allah in the Quran established the presence of other gods. Right? وَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. Do not call upon, besides Allah, other gods. Call them Allah إِلَٰهًا. Call them an إِلَه. So, but we said that they're not true. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. Because Allah is the God in truth. The only one deserves the worship, and everybody else, they may call him a God, but in essence they're not. But ممتاز. وحده لا شريك له. وحده هي من حيث المعنى توكيد للإثبات. لا شريك له توكيد للنفي. وحده alone. And here it is emphasis on affirmation. Emphasis on the affirmation which is إلا الله. لا شريك له is emphasis on the negating which is لا إله. So they become لا إله إلا الله. وحده is closer to the last part, which is إلا الله. لا شريك له is emphasized in the beginning of it, which is لا إله. Because لا شريك له, no partners with him. إقرارا به وتوحيدا. إقرارا هذا مصدر, وإن شئت فقول إنه مفعول مطلق لأنه مصدر معنوي. This is advanced grammar that none of us is, at least as far as I know, except maybe the brother and the brother, may be qualified in terms of this grammar. This is high caliber grammar, so we will leave it alone, so we will not, it won't do tashwish on us. لقوله أشهد وأهل النحو يقولون إذا كان المصدر بمعنى الفعل دون حروفه فهو مصدر معنوي أو مفعول مطلق, وإذا كان بمعناه وحروفه فهو مصدر لفظي. فقمت قياما مصدر لفظي لفظي, وقمت وقوفا مصدر معنوي, وجلست جلوسا لفظي, وجلست قعودا معنوي إلى آخره. He's basically breaking it down that مصدر is a word that is derived from a root word, and it could be it could be either verbal or it could be understood, where it is tangible or non-tangible, or something along these lines. Anyways, we will not go there. المهم وقوله توحيدا, meaning believing in it totally. مصدر مؤكد لقوله لا إله إلا الله. توحيدا is emphasizing the whole statement, the testimony of لا إله إلا الله. طيب وقوله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نقول فيه أشهد ما قلنا في أشهد الأولى. We say this أشهد is the same thing we explained in the first أشهد, لا إله إلا الله. طيب and who is Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He is هو ابن عبد الله بن عبد المطلب القرشي الهاشمي الذي هو من سلالة إسماعيل ابن إبراهيم أشرف الناس نسبا عليه الصلاة والسلام. He is the son of Abdullah. His father's name was Abdullah. The son of Abdul Muttalib, which is his grandfather. From Quraysh, from Bani Hashim. This is the tribe of the Prophet ﷺ and his lineage. And he is from the loins or the progeny of Ishmael, the son of Abraham. We know who these are. The ones who built the Kaaba, alayhim salatu salam. The most honorable of people in terms of lineage is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it comes in another narration that he mentioned about himself. هذا النبي الكريم هو عبد الله ورسوله. This honorable prophet is the messenger of Allah, is the servant of Allah and his messenger. وهو أعبد الناس لله. And he is the most obedient person to Allah. The one, the most worshipping to Allah. وأشهدهم تحقيقا لعبادته. And he is the one who, the manifestation of the worship is seen through him the most compared to any other prophet or human being. كان عليه الصلاة والسلام يقوم في الليل حتى تتورم قدماه ويقال له كيف تصنع هذا وقد غفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر. He used to get up at night until his feet swell from the duration of standing, and it will be said to him, How do you do that? Why do you do that? And Allah has forgiven your past sins and your future ones. As Allah told them in the beginning of Surah Al-Fatih and in Surah Al-Inshirah. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الْوِزْر is sin. وَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ meaning we removed off you. So he was forgiven عليه الصلاة والسلام for everything he may have done. And we, of course, the sins that may be considered against the Prophet ﷺ are not the sins that one of us might do. It's not like the major sins, and it's the things that are extremely insignificant in comparison to the average Muslim. Anyways, the Prophet ﷺ will respond, فَيَقُولْ أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shall I not be a thankful servant? يعني, if Allah has forgiven my previous sins in my past, my previous ones and my future ones, it doesn't mean I relax. Rather, if somebody does you a favor, then you must be grateful. So he wanted to be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal, so he would pray at night. Although he really didn't need to, because why would we pray at night? Because we want our sins to be forgiven. We want to go to Jannah. He's guaranteed. He could easily just say, okay, you know what, I have a lot of duties to do. I'm a messenger. I got to do da'wah all day and what have you. I mean, relax. Going to Jannah anyways. I'm a messenger of Allah. You understand what I'm saying? Realistically, he could be that person. But he was not. عليه الصلاة والسلام. إيه. لأن الله تعالى أثنى على العبد الشكور حين قال عن نوح إنه كان عبدا شكورا. فأراد النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن يصل إلى هذه الغاية وأن يعبد الله تعالى حق عبادته. ولهذا كان أتقى الناس وأخشى الناس لله وأشدهم رغبة فيما عند الله. Because Allah عز وجل has praised his servant. He praised the thankful servant. Such as when he said about Nuh, إنه كان عبدا شكورا. Verily, he was a thankful servant. Grateful or thankful. And so the Prophet ﷺ wanted to reach that level. He wanted to reach that level. And he wanted to worship Allah the way Allah truly deserves to be worshipped. This is why he was the most pious of people. And the one who, and among the people, he feared Allah the most. And he desired what Allah had for him the most from reward and Jannah. فَهُوَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. So he is the servant of Allah. وَمُقْتَدَى عُبُودِيَّتِهِ أَنَّهُ لَا يَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَلَا لِغَيْرِهِ نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا وَلَيْسَ لَهُ حَقٌّ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ إِطْلَاقًا. And the essence of his ubudiyya or servitude to Allah is that he does not possess for himself, neither for others, any benefit or harm. And this is the fine line between Islam and every other religion, really, is giving the attributes of rububiyya to other than Allah. So to Christians, Jesus has all that. And to Hindus, the cow has all that. And to Buddhists, the Buddha has all that. And what have you. The only religion which makes a major distinction between Allah and His creation, no matter how honorable the creation are, is Islam. You're a messenger of Allah, you're the most pious, all the good stuff. Yes, but that's it. You don't benefit or harm. You don't call on to Him. As we received in the email at my house, somebody sent us an email, has an image of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they say in this image is something that only 0.1 Muslims around the world had the honor to see, the grave of the Prophet ﷺ from inside in the Masjid al-Nabawi. And this may lead to shirk. And in Islam we were commanded not to magnify graves. It's a grave where a dead person lies, period. Now, today, somewhere in the world a Muslim is on the ground doing sujood to someone in the grave. Somewhere in the world a Muslim or a so-called Muslim is throwing a letter to someone who's dead, talking about my son has diabetes and he needs some quick healing. Somewhere in the world some Muslim is worshipping other than Allah and giving what Allah deserves to not only live people, dead people. And they do the same thing. That's why you find in the Masjid al-Nabawi there's hurras around the grave, because some people come and do crazy stuff thinking that they're going to get some barakah from the Prophet ﷺ, and there's no barakah except in following the sunnah. And the sunnah is that he said, Allahumma la taj'al qabri eidan. Oh Allah, do not make my grave a place where it's honored or visited often. Eid is whatever happens every year. ولا وثنا يعبد, and not an idol that is worshipped. And people do just that. They do just that. So anyways, here the Shaykh is trying to emphasize, look, because he is the most servant, يعني he had the highest level of servitude, this indicates that he has nothing to do with rububiyyah, lordship. He does not possess for himself or for others any benefit or harm, and he has nothing to do with rububiyyah, absolutely nothing. بل هو عبد محتاج إلى الله مفتقر له يسأله ويدعوه ويرجوه ويخافه ويخافه. Rather, he is a servant of Allah who is in need of Allah, in a state of poverty towards Allah, asking Him, supplicating to Him, begging Him, and fearing Him. بل إن الله أمره أن يعلن وأن يبلغ بلاغا خاصا بأنه لا يملك شيئا من هذه الأمور. Not only that, but Allah in the Quran commanded Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that he should publicize and he should convey to the people a clear message that he does not possess any of these affairs. فقال قل لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا إلا ما شاء الله ولو كنت أعلم الغيب لاستكثرت من الخير وما مسني السوء. Allah told him, say, I do not possess for myself any benefit or harm except what Allah wills, and I do not know the unseen. Had I known the unseen, I would have increased in goodness, and in khair usually is for money. I would have had abundance of wealth because I know the future and I know the unseen. وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّءُ, and no harm would have ever touched me. If you know that if you travel down the street you're going to get in a car accident, you go somewhere else. Huh? Say, okay, this is an accident because you know the unseen. You know what's written. So the Prophet ﷺ got poisoned. During the battlefields, he was struck more than once. He was hurt. And he suffered what everyone suffers from as a human being. Had he known the unseen, nothing would have touched him. No harm would have come upon him. Because he knows the future, he would avoid it. طيب. وَأَمَرَهُ أَنْ يَقُولُ قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ ولا أعلم الغيب ولا أقول لكم إني ملك إن أتبع إلا ما يوحى إليه. And Allah also commanded him, say, I do not possess for you, I do not have with me the treasures of Allah, the khazain, whatever Allah has prepared from bounty and sustenance. ولا أعلم الغيب, and I do not know the unseen. ولا أقول لكم إني ملك, and I do not say that I'm an angel. إن أتبع إلا ما يوحى إليه. All I do is follow that which has been revealed to me. A regular man صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأمره أن يقول قل إني لا أملك لكم ضرا ولا رشدا قل إني لن يجيرني من الله أحدا ولن أجد من دونه ملتحدا. He also جل وعلا commanded him to say I do not possess for you any harm or any benefit. Say, no one can protect me from Allah. No one can protect me from Allah. If Allah wanted something to fall upon me, so if no one can protect him, he can't protect himself either, عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَلَنْ أَجِدُ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا, and I will not find no escape and no one to help me from the punishment of Allah if it were to come upon me, عليه الصلاة والسلام. إِلَّا اسْتِثْنَاءً مُنْقَطِعَ أي لكن أُبَلِّغُ بَلَاغًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِسَالَاتِهِ. Brother, I only convey the messages from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. فالحاصل أن محمدا صلوات الله وسلامه عليه عبد لله, ومقتدى هذه العبودية أنه لا حق له في شيء من شؤون الربوبية إطلاقا. The bottom line summary of all this is that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the servant of Allah, and that is an indication that he has nothing to do with the attributes of lordship, from creating and giving life and death and sustenance and what have you, that we know that only Allah Azza wa Jal does. Absolutely no share in that. No share in that. وإذا كان محمد رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه بهذه المثابة فما بالك بمن دونه من عباد الله فإنهم لا يملكون لأنفسهم نفعا ولا ضرا ولا لغيرهم أبدا. وبهذا يتبين سفه أولئك القوم الذين يدعون من يدعونهم أولياء من دون الله عز وجل. He said, and if Muhammad the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, is in this particular status, then what do you say about those who are lesser than him from among the average servants of Allah? They do not possess for themselves any harm or benefit, and not to anyone else, absolutely none. And by this we understand how feeble-minded, yani small-minded, the people who have claimed that they are awliya, and awliya are helpers or protectors and what have you. To them, these are the special people who are close to Allah, whom they call upon. And this is very common back in our home, where people will go to the grave of such and such, which will be in the masjid. In the masjid. And they will have a dariq, and they will have a nice fancy building and some fancy fabric. And it's like you go into a, you know, I don't know what it is, as if you're visiting someone alive. And the people, they wipe the fence outside, thinking that there's barakah and all this, and call these, this is the wali of Allah. This is the friend and the close person to Allah. So I'm a bad person, I'm a regular Muslim who comes to the masjid. How am I going to get with Allah? How would Allah forgive me? This person Allah loves, so I go to this person, so I will get the love of Allah. Just like the mushrikeen. There are no difference between Islam and any other religion at this point. That's the concept of every other religion. A mediator between them and Allah. An interceder or intercessor. طيب. وقوله ورسوله. هذا أيضا وصف لا يكون لأحد بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه خاتم النبيين فهو رسول الله الذي بلغ مكانا لم يبلغه أحد من البشر بل ولا من الملائكة فيما نعلم اللهم إلا حملة العرش. He says, and the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, وأشهد أن محمدا عبده. Now we dealt with عبده, what is intended by that. Now, ورسوله, he says this is also a description that does not fit anyone after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is the seal of all prophets, and he alayhi salatu wasalam has reached a certain degree among humans that no one, that we do not know of anyone who has reached it, not even the angels. Allahumma accept that those who carry the throne, the angels who carry the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. وصل إلى ما فوق السماء السابعة. When he went on Isra and Mi'raj, he was taken above the seventh heaven. And we don't know of any angel, even the angels. Some of them are inhabitants of the first heaven, second and third. Some of them never go beyond that. And we don't know of anyone who has made it all the way, even Jibreel at that point, as it comes in a hadith, he told them, you continue. When he took him up, he said, you continue, no one has ever went beyond this point. And even Jibreel alayhi salam could not go beyond that point. The one who continued is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is in the Isra and Mi'raj, when he spoke to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَصَلَ إِلَى مَوْضِعٍ سَمِعَ فِيهِ صَرِيفُ أَقْلَامِ الْقَضَاءِ الَّذِي يَقْدِ بِهِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي خَلْقِهِ. He made it so high to the point that he was able to hear the sound of the writing. The sound of the writing of the decree, the qadr, the destiny that Allah Azza wa Jal decrees for His servants. You know, مَا وَصَلَ أَحَدٌ فِيهِ لِلْعِلْمِ إِلَى هَذَا الْمُسْتَوَى. No one has reached such a high level in knowledge to this extent, except the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَكَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِدُونْ وَاسِطَى. And Allah Azza wa Jal spoke to him without any one in between. Direct, as Allah spoke to Musa. But when Allah spoke to Musa, alayhi salatu salam, Musa was on earth. Here Allah spoke to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up there, in the heavens, near to Allah. Because Allah is above the seven heavens, not everywhere. Now, we dealt with this before. Allah is not everywhere. It's impossible for Allah to be everywhere, because that entails that Allah is in filthy places, and Allah is not. But Allah is above His creation, above the seven heavens, as Allah described Himself. In that particular manner, all over the Quran and all over the Sunnah. وَأَرْسَلَهُ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ كَافَّةً. And Allah sent him to all of the creation. وَأَيَّدَهُ بِالْآيَاتِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ لِأَحَدٍ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَوْ الرُّسُلِ قَبْلَهِ. And Allah has aided him with magnificent and great signs and ayat, proofs and signs and what have you, that no other human or messenger has had before. وهو هذا القرآن العظيم. And it is this glorious Quran. فأن هذا القرآن لا نظير له في آيات الأنبياء السابقين أبدا. This Quran, there is no equal to it in terms of the miracles that were given to the previous prophets. They're nothing compared to the Quran, if you really want to think about it. And we mentioned, remember in the khutbah, I don't know if you were here in the khutbah, what's the main reason why? Because the miracles of the prophets, gone. They may have been great, but they're not everlasting. They're not, the endurance is short. Either you were there and you seen it, or you just have to believe in it afterwards. Whereas the miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this Quran, is right here. But we never met him. But his miracle is within our hands. Unlike the other miracles, which you can no longer see them. This is among the reasons, of course. لهذا قال الله تعالى وقالوا لولا أنزل عليه آيات من ربه قل إنما الآيات عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين أولم يكفهم أن أنزلنا عليك الكتاب يتلى عليهم. This is a very, it's Surah Al-Ankabut, the spider, verses 50 and 51. Allah says, and they say, had it only that some signs from his Lord come unto him. Say to them, verily the signs are with Allah, and all I am is a clear warner. I don't bring you the signs. Yeah, I don't make things happen. Allah makes things happen. I'm only a person who's delivering. If Allah wants to show you a sign, it's up to Allah. I myself, because they used to always tell Prophet ﷺ, do this, do that, do that. And he ﷺ, Allah would command him that say, this is with Allah. They would say, hasten the punishment. Come on, if you say you're the messenger of Allah, let the heavens throw, you know, rain, rocks, and destroy us. And Allah would command him to say, in ana ma kuntu, Surah Al-Isra.
ما
كنت بدعا بالرسل؟ لا لا. قل سبحان ربي إلا بشرا رسولا. إن أنا أو الله مستعان. لا, now I gotta get it right. Just so we will not wind up fooling around here. سورة الإسراء. After they asked him for all the things that they wanted. Recorded. Anyways, the ayah says, أو يكون له لك بيت من زخرف أو ترقى في السماء ولن نؤمن لرقيك حتى تنزل علينا كتابا نقرأه قل سبحان ربي هل كنت إلا بشرا رسولا. After they told them, we will not believe until you do such and until you do such and until you bring a book and we touch it and we read it with our own hands and all this, then Allah commanded and say glory be to Allah. Was I anything but a human messenger? All these things you're asking for, I do not have the ability to bring. I am just a messenger. This is the point that I was trying to make. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So, he alayhi salatu salam could not bring whatever they wanted. So here Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ. And so is it not sufficient for them that we have sent down this book which is recited upon them? So Allah Azza wa Jal replaced all the suggestions that they kept suggesting that they wanted from miracles and what have you to believe in Him. Is it not sufficient for them this Quran that is being recited upon them? Subhanallah. هذا يكفي عن كل شيء يقول الشيخ ولكن لمن كان له قلب أو ألقى السمع وهو شهيد أما المعرض فسيقول كما قال من سبقه هذا أساطير الأولين. The Shaykh said, so this Quran suffices everything. But this is only for the person who has a heart, or whom he listens while he is paying attention, while he is present in terms of his heart being present. But as for the one who turns away, he will say what the people before him have said. This is only the tales, the stories and the tales of the first people, the early generations. It's only stories. It's not really from Allah. Al-hasil anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Rasulullah وخاتم النبيين ختم الله به النبوة والرسالة أيضا لأنه إذا انتفت النبوة وهي أعم من الرسالة انتفت الرسالة التي هي أخص لأن انتفاء الأعم يستلزم انتفاء الأخص فرسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام هو خاتم النبيين. He says the summary of this and the bottom line is that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah and the seal of all prophets. Allah has concealed the prophethood and the message and the messages in general also, because if the prophethood is sealed, because here some ignorant Muslims and some non-Muslims will try to bring a shubha. They will say Allah says He is Khatamun Nabiyyin, He is the seal of all prophets. It doesn't mean that there will not be a messenger, right? It doesn't say Khatamul Mursaleen, It says Khatamun Nabiyyin. Maybe there will be no more prophet, but maybe there will be another messenger after him, because the verse doesn't indicate that. Anyways, the answer for that is clear. You cannot be a messenger unless you are a prophet. You cannot be a messenger unless you are a prophet. Because the prophet is one thing and a messenger is another thing. A prophet is anyone who receives the revelation from Allah. But he does not have to convey it to the people, and he is not given a new legislation. Whereas a messenger, he's given a new legislation, and he is commanded to convey it to the people. So you may have many prophets among the Jews who were all ruling by the Torah, the Old Testament. No new revelation was given to them. They came and re-established what was already present. That will be a prophet. But once they're given a new revelation, and you have to convey new law to the people with new acts of worship and what have you, then this is a Rasul who's been sent to the people. Tayyib? So you cannot be a messenger unless you're a prophet. So if Allah says خاتم النبيين معناته خاتم المرسلين من باب أولى. If he is the seal of prophets, meaning they cannot be a messenger. Because you cannot be a messenger unless you're a prophet. And Muhammad is the seal of all prophets. See how that is? Anyways, the Shaykh mentioned it in other wording, which is النبوة هي أعم من الرسالة. Prophethood is more general than the رسالة, which is the message. And if the risala is gone, which is more specific, then that which is more specific. Anyways, the bottom line is, you understand what I'm saying? لأن أنت
ممكن تترجم كل رسول نبي وليس كل نبي رسول.
كل رسول نبي. Every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. That's really the summary. JazakAllah أحسن الله. This is really the bottom line. I talk too much, and sometimes somebody says one phrase and معليش. Maybe you should learn. المهم الحمد لله. وقوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما مزيدا. This is the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله. Remember the introduction of Ibn Taymiyyah. You should get the book. It's a small book. Anyways, after he said وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله, then he said, as we usually say, صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما مزيدا. What is that? معنى الشرح, معنى صلى الله عليه. Now, what is intended by صلى الله? Now, this is also another shubha that some have. Because we know we are the people who do salah. And we do salah to Allah. And you say صلى الله. If you want to translate it literally, it means Allah prayed upon him. So how could Allah, the one whom is prayed to, pray upon someone? Anyone wants to answer? Mr. Ali? It's not for me, it's for the Shaykh. أحسن ما قيل فيه ما قاله أبو العالية رحمه الله قال صلاة الله على رسوله ثناؤه عليه في الملأ الأعلى. What is intended by صلى الله عليه, meaning Allah mentioning him among the higher close angels. That's it. So when you say صلى الله عليه, meaning Allah will mention his name among the close angels. Allah will speak, يعني ثناء, which is to praise him. Allah will praise him among the close servants of Allah, which are the angels that are near to Allah. This is what is intended by صلى الله عليه.
Allah praises him?
Yes, Allah praises him. Yes, Allah called him Muhammad, which is the praised one. Mahmud, the praised one. Ahmad, the more praised. So this is, Allah praises his servants. Allah praises his righteous servants all over the Quran. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. This is praising from Allah. Allah says about Sulaiman and Ayyub, نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ. What an excellent servant. Allah praised the prophets and the messengers and the righteous people in the Quran. So here Allah praises Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam among the close angels to Allah. And we know this from either regular people, right? You know when you go into the pharmacy and you go out, it says اذكر الله يذكرك. You know the thing that says remember Allah, Allah will remember you. And it comes in a hadith Qudsi. Allah says if you remember me and open, if you remember me within yourself, then Allah Azza wa Jalla says I remember you within myself. And if you remember me among a group of people, I will remember you among a group better than them. So if this is for one of us, then what about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? طيب؟ طيب. وأما من فسر صلاة الله عليه بالرحمة فقوله ضعيف. As for the one who explained it, I said, صلى الله عليه means Allah's mercy be upon him. He said this is a weak explanation. نعم. لأن رحمة تكون لكل أحد, because mercy is for everyone. ولهذا أجمع العلماء على أنه على أنك يجوز أن تقول فلان رحمه الله. That's why the scholars have agreed that the people it is permissible to say such and such person, may Allah have mercy on him, right? واختلفوا هل يجوز أن تقول فلان صلى الله عليه. You can say to anyone, may Allah have mercy on him, but can you say to anyone صلى الله عليه؟ وهذا يدل على أن الصلاة غير الرحمة. This is an indication that salah is different than rahma. So you cannot translate salah as rahma, which is صلى الله عليه meaning رحمة الله عليه. They're not the same. That's what the Shaykh is trying to establish. وأيضا فقد قال الله تعالى أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة. سبحان الله, the Shaykh man رحمه الله was not your average brother man. Look at this استدلال. Look at the how he brings the evidence at the يعني very crucial time, and this is a gift from Allah. He said, and Allah said in another occasion in the Quran, those have salawat, which is the plural of salat, from the Lord and rahmah. والعطف يقتضي المغايرة. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal said this and that, which indicates that they're different, right? You say I drank water and water, it will be sufficient to say I drank water. If I say I drank water and soda, the fact that you use and indicates that they are not the same. Otherwise you wouldn't have to say and. In the verse Allah says those upon them is salawat from their Lord and mercy. If salawat meant mercy, there will be no need to repeat it. MashaAllah. إذن فالصلاة أخص من الرحمة. Salah is more specific than رحمة, because everybody gets رحمة. But to get the salah from Allah, meaning Allah praising you among the close servants, then this is specific. فصلاة الله على رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثناؤه عليه في الملأ الأعلى. طيب. وكذلك قوله وعلى آله وآله. What is intended and upon his آل. We will see what is intended by that. هنا أتباعها لدينه. What is intended here by آل, meaning those who follow him in his religion, those who follow him on his path صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا إذا ذكرت الآل وحدها مع أن أو مع الصحب, فأنها تكون بمعنى أتباعه على دينه منذ بعث إلى يوم القيامة. ويدل على أن الآل بمعنى الأتباع على الدين قوله تعالى في آل فرعون النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. The fire, they are exposed to it during the night, morning and evening in an alternative way, alternating. And when the hour, when the day or when the hour takes place, which is the day of judgment, permit the Al of Fir'aun the most severe of punishments. So they were called Al. Now what is intended here by Al Fir'aun is his family or those who followed him? Because who was among his family that will not go to the fire? His wife. So she cannot be part of the Al. But those who followed him are his Al, Al Fir'aun. So here is an indication that Al means those who follow them on the religion, although it may mean the family. It may mean the family depending on the usage. طيب. أما إذا قرنت بالأتباع فقيل آله وأتباعه فالآل هم المؤمنون من آل البيت أي بيت الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. But if it is mentioned along with those who follow, meaning صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأتباعه, if you say may Allah send his peace and blessings upon him, his Al and his followers, if you use both, then the followers take that meaning, and Al is given the meaning of the family of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. آل بيت الرسول عليه السلام, his family members عليه الصلاة والسلام. وشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله لم يذكر الأتباع هنا, but شيخ الإسلام did not mention the أتباع, the followers. He used Al. So قال آله وصحبه, his Al and his companions. فنقول آله هم أتباعه على دينه, وصحبه كل من اجتمع بالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام مؤمنا به ومات على ذلك. So we say here Al is for those who follow him on his religion, and أصحابه is anyone who met with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was a believer and died upon that. Now for your information, if you want to write this note, this is the definition of a Sahabi, companion. The definition of a Sahabi is someone who met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and died as a believer. He's called a Sahabi. Now I have a question for you. Do you have to see him? Or is it enough to meet him to be a Sahabi?
Sahabi,
see
him.
So if you didn't see him, you're not a Sahabi.
Sahabi. Someone who met Muhammad Prophet and died as a Muslim.
Let's say the person was present during his time. He wasn't a Tabi'i. But he didn't see him. But he met him.
What? You didn't see him, but he met him?
Yes. You could meet someone without seeing him. I'll just give you an example. The mudir of this maktab comes over here and he speaks to me from behind the door. Say, I am Mr. Hamoud, I'm Abu Mus'ab, how are you doing? Barakallah feek. He says, Ma'lish, I'm not looking, I don't feel comfortable, I don't want you to see me now. And do I tell the people I never met the brother? I say, I met the brother.
You met him, but you didn't see.
It doesn't matter. But I met him, right or wrong. What do you say about the blind companions? Ibn Maktoum, he was blind.
Yes, yes.
Can you not call him a Sahabi because he didn't see him? He met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam.
Abasa wa tawalla idh ja'ahu al-a'ma. The blind came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't see him, but he met him. So be careful. Don't say anyone who's seen. That's why I'm making this a point. If you say anyone who's seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and died upon soul, maybe you are negating the companionship of many who were blind. So we say whomever met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he's alive and died as a believer. Now.
ماذا عن النجاشي؟ What about the Najashi?
النجاشي
صحابي ولا رضي الله عنه؟ النجاشي رضي الله عنه
ايه
صحابي ولا
الله اعلم
الله اعلم. Okay, someone is living in during the Sulah Sulah period.
Nice.
They hear only, they didn't see that time.
From my understanding, from what I remember, it's not considered a Sahabi. Because a Suhba is companionship. And companionship is established based on at least meeting the person once for him to be your friend, not through distance. Wallahu a'lam. From what I remember, the definition that the scholars gave, you have to have met him. That's why it says, "Kullu man istama'a bin Nabi," whomever mixes with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. طيب المهم وعطف الصحب هنا على الآل من باب عطف الخاص على العام لأن الصحبة الصحبة أخص من مطلق الأتباع. And here the end. For يعني adding the ashab with the people of the followers is from the perspective of adding that which is specific to that which is general, because the companionship is more specific than the general followers, because they're all followers, but being a companion is more specific than just being a follower, because we are the followers and they were followers, but they are followers and ashab. We are followers without ashab. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. قوله وسلم تسليما مزيدا سلم فيها السلامة من الآفات وفي الصلاة حصول الخيرات. السلام سلم, it means being secure or protected or peaceful from any calamity. And in the salah there's attaining good. Attaining good in the salah and in the salam, protection from any harm. فجمع المؤلف في هذه الصيغة بين سؤال الله تعالى أن يحقق لنبيه الخيرات وأخصها الثناء عليه في الملأ الأعلى وأن يزيل عنه الآفات وكذلك من اتبعه. So with that statement صلى الله عليه وسلم, this the مؤلف, the author of the book, Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله, brought a relation between asking Allah to establish for his messenger goodness, and the most highest one is for Allah to remember him among the close servants to Allah, and that Allah removes from him any harm. And this is the same for his followers. والجملة في قوله صلى الله وسلم خبرية لفظا طلبية معنى لأن المراد بها الدعاء. And when you say صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says it is linguistically it is a خبر, it's just information or news, but in essence and meaning it is a request, because you're really making a dua. So the way Arabic, when you say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, it's just information. But what you really intend is dua. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. طيب. So the linguistic aspect is different than what is intended. وقوله مزيدا بمعنى زائدا أو زيادة. What is intended by مزيدا meaning زائدا meaning an increase or extra أو زيادة. والمراد تسليما زائدا على الصلاة. What is intended is a تسليم in addition to the صلاة. فيكون دعاء آخر بالسلام بعد الصلاة. So it becomes another دعاء with making دعاء for the safety and salam for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم after sending the صلاة عليه. والرسول عند أهل العلم من أوحي إليه بشرع وأمر بتبليغه. Now he mentioned what we were discussing earlier. And the messenger, according to the people of knowledge, the scholars, is whomever has been given a revelation and a legislation, and he is commanded to convey it. Whereas the Prophet, we said, doesn't necessarily have these characteristics. He may just be given revelation. He is contacted divinely by Allah through an angel or through otherwise, but not necessarily given a revelation in terms of not revelation, not necessarily given a new scripture or a new law that he needs to implement and teach the people. وَقَدْ نُبِّئَ بِإِقْرَى. Now he's speaking about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was given a prophethood with Iqra. When Jibreel Alayhi Wasallam came to him in the cave, he told them, recite and be careful, brothers, when you are given da'wah. I've encountered this before, and I almost cornered myself. And by the grace of Allah, sometimes, ya akhi, Allah saves you for the sake of the deen, not for you. I was in a particular position, without mentioning the details, where I was cornered with a question, and I really did not know the answer properly. But subhanAllah, by the grace of Allah, the answer came. Perhaps for the religion, for the disbelievers not to have something against Islam, not because of me, because I personally didn't know. But the concept came, and this is by the grace of Allah, for no one will have something against Islam. So sometimes Allah will aid those who speak in order for no one to have nothing against Islam, even if themselves they might not be, right there. They might not be qualified or what have you. Somebody said, you say that your messenger is illiterate. He did not read or write. Yet, the first thing that was said to him is, Iqra, read. So how would that be? Why would Jibreel, who's supposed to know, sitting there telling the man to read, and he knows that he does not read? And the answer to this question is, you're like, whoa! I mean, you have to, what are you going to say? If you, now understand, we easily say, Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. But to them, they don't take that. You know what I'm saying? They think, oh, okay, so see, they try to use it against you. And then I had maybe heard it in a lecture before or something, but then I realized, Iqra means recite. Doesn't mean read. And you don't need to be a knowledgeable person to recite. You only read. If he brought him a book, said Iqra, he tell him, I don't read. But if he tell him, recite. Yes, you could recite. So the translation of the word Iqra is sensitive. So when you want to give da'wah, say that the first thing Jibreel told him was recite. Recite. Iqra bismi rabbika al-khalaq. Recite by the name of your Lord. And it's called Quran because it was called Quran before the book was there. Why? Quran from qira'ah, which is the recited. The recited. Quran is that which is recited. So that's why it's called Quran. Because of recitation. And that does not necessitate being knowledgeable in terms of reading or writing. Literate, being literate. You understand what I'm saying? طيب. ممتاز. إذن he was given the prophethood by Iqra, recite. وأرسل بالمدثر. And he was given the message, he became a Rasul. When Allah said, اقرأ باسمي بالمدثر. فبقوله تعالى اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق, recite in the name of your Lord who created. إلى قوله علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم كان نبيا. He was a prophet with these verses. Then Allah said, يا أيها المدثر كم فأنذر. Oh, wrapped one. He was wrapped, عليه الصلاة والسلام, in the blanket. كم, rise, stand. فأنذر and warn. كان رسولا عليه الصلاة والسلام. He became a messenger, عليه الصلاة والسلام. طيب وبهذا نكتفي بهذا إن شاء الله. وصلنا إلى قوله الأسبوع القادم. أما بعد فهذا اعتقاد الفرقة الناجية المنصورة إلى قيام الساعة أهل السنة والجماعة. الحمد لله. This will be doing inshallah next week. The Sheikh says as to what follows. This is the belief of the victorious group that is aided until the hour, until the day of judgment. أهل السنة والجماعة, the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah, and we will see what exactly they believe, and which is us, inshallah عز وجل, in the next week. هذا والله تعالى أعلم, والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.